It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
The police!
When Ham the astro shrimp said, no more space flights. Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, he's the poster child for no cloning, Paul LaVoy.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Friday, February 16th, 2024. I love Fridays. I especially love today because I really only have to babysit half of the show. It's a babysitting session in the second half because we have a recorded segment. And the first half, we have a first-time guest for me anyway, and Lydia Durst is on the phone. She's the Mojave County Recorder, and we're going to talk all about the upcoming presidential preference election. Are you there, Lydia?
I am. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're joining us. And thanks to County Communications Director Roger Galloway for providing this interview opportunity for us, because we have a busy election year for the County Recorder's Office. I need to get a couple of housekeeping items done, Lydia, so bear with me, okay?
Okay.
So, again, on the sports station, we've been talking about this all week. The Daytona 500 is Sunday at 11:30. That's the pre-race time. Sunday at 11:30, and you can hear it live at 94.3, 100.5, 980 AM. If you haven't heard NASCAR on the radio, it's crazy exciting. So just be prepared. It's like the last part of the Kentucky Derby for 4 hours. Let's put it that way. You know, down the stretch they come. It's pretty funny, actually. A couple of college basketball games tomorrow, and then we've got a hockey game. It's the NHL Stadium Series. That's a 5:30 pregame, and that'll be the Philadelphia Flyers and the New Jersey Devils. And again, that's tomorrow night at 5:30 for the pregame, and then the Daytona 500, of course, on Sunday at 11:30. So we're going to give away some tickets today as well. The Havasu Regional Orchestra featuring the LHRO Big Band and Ensembles, and Art Swanson is the conductor for that event, and it is Sunday, February 25th, so next Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center here in Lake Havasu City. New vocalists for the orchestra. They're going to feature two vocalists, and everybody knows these two. Jerry and Cindy Aldridge are going to sing with the Lake Havasu Regional Orchestra. So I think probably during the break, it'll be during the last break in the show, I'll give away a couple of tickets. You can have up to four to that performance. And again, that's next Sunday, February 25th at 3 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center. So anyway, Lydia Durst is our guest. She's the Mojave County Recorder. And again, the presidential preference election is coming up. And let's talk about eligibility and early in-person voting, Lydia.
Okay, so a little bit about the presidential preference election. The purpose of this election in Arizona is for voters to choose their preference of which president they want to see on the general election in November. So this year for 2024, only two political parties are able to participate. You have to be registered with the Republican Party or Democrat Party. Early voting starts next Wednesday, mm-hmm. on February 21st. It starts at 10 a.m. and it goes till 4 p.m. Monday through Friday at our three main Tri-City libraries: the Mojave County Library in Kingman on Burbank Street, the Bullhead City Library on Hancock, and then the Mojave County Library in Lake Havasu on McCulloch.
What does that mean for? Okay, so people can vote early, and does this include? Are there any mail-in ballots for this?
Yes. So if you've requested a ballot to be mailed to you as a voter, that's also going to be mailed out on Wednesday, February 21st, the same day in-person early voting begins. We always want to remind everyone, the ballot you receive in the mail and the ballot you get either at in-person early voting or on election day at the polls is the same ballot. But early ballots are the ballots that are tabulated prior to election day, and those are going to be the 8 o'clock results we start to see.
Going to be
the early ballot.
I see. Do we know who is on the ballot? Is there anyone that we're familiar with that is not on the presidential preference election ballot? And are we talking a separate one for Democrats and a separate one for Republicans?
Correct. You can only vote the party ballot that you are registered with. You only have Republican candidates if you're a Republican or Democratic candidates if you're a Democrat. On the Republican candidate, there are quite a few candidates. Everyone that has listed their statement of interest and filed everything to the Secretary of State's office are still on the ballot. If they haven't withdrawn officially from the Secretary of State, mm-hmm. they are still a candidate, even if they only withdrawn publicly. When we get the official withdrawal list from the Secretary of State, that will be posted in all early voting sites on the Mojave County website if you get your ballot by mail. And it'll be posted inside the polling locations on election day.
So are you saying we could still see Governor Ron DeSantis on that ballot?
He is still on the ballot.
Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting. So, yeah, it has to be officially withdrawn then. What about independent voters, or from what I understand, the No Labels Party is recognized here in Arizona, Libertarian, Green Party. What do those voters do if they want to vote in the presidential preference election?
So if any voter is not with the Republican or Democratic Party, they would need to re-register. And that registration deadline is February 20th, which is on Tuesday.
Ooh.
Our office is closed on Monday for President's Day. But you can register online through Service Arizona through the DMV, or come in and fill out a form today or pick up a form from a library on Saturday. Our office will be open on Tuesday to anyone that needs to update their registration. You can search your Mojave County voter registration record at my.arizona.vote. It's going to ask you for your date of birth, your driver's license, and information to be sure that you are the voter you're looking up, but that can tell you which party you are currently registered with and the status of your voter registration record.
Boy, that's a really helpful takeaway. If there was anything I was going to take away from this interview, it would be my.arizona.vote if you want to find out what party you are registered in. So that's really interesting about servicearizona.com. I recently changed my registration. So is that immediate then for the next day to vote?
No, it is not. All forms still have to be processed by our office in Kingman, the Voter Registration Division. Everything is verified, being sure that if you possibly typed in a political party, you didn't choose one that was selected, mm-hmm. you're placed under the correct political party. Depending on what your occupation is, that may go to your voter record, it may not. And then, of course, verifying that you're registering at a residential address. By Arizona state law, you cannot register at a commercial address for your residence.
Oh, that's interesting, too. Again, we're talking with Mojave County Recorder Lydia Durst, and we're talking about the presidential preference election that is in March. So I want to talk about we talked about Service Arizona. It's not immediate when you change your party. How long does that normally take before you can turn around and vote? It's a 3-week period for early voting, right? How long does that take for you to verify all that to where that person that changed their party to vote in this election, how long does that take before they actually appear in the voter rolls?
So if you register online today at Service Arizona, we're going to receive that in our office on Tuesday morning when we arrive. Everyone that has been registered online by the 20th will be eligible to start voting on the 21st as early voting begins.
Okay, so go ahead.
You have to be registered by February 20th in order to vote in the presidential preference election.
And that's this Tuesday, registered by 5 p.m. then?
Yes.
All right, perfect. So we cover the registration deadline and then the dates and times. What is the date of the election itself?
Election date is March 19th.
Okay. That's actually easy to remember because the registration deadline is February 20th. So then March 19th would be election day. A lot of people prefer to vote on election day. Do you have those numbers? Do you know how many people prefer to vote on election day as opposed to early voting?
In the past, most people actually vote early rather than election day in Mojave County. About 70% of voters either vote early, receiving their ballot by mail, or voting at an early in-person location in 3 main tri-cities.
Okay.
Election day is still a busy day, but that leaves about 20% of the voters voting on election day.
Let's talk about polling locations. Are we talking about precinct voting, or are we talking about the libraries?
So the libraries are only early in person, and early in person voting ends on March 15th, the Friday before Election Day.
Right.
So when you go to vote on Election Day, March 19th, you're going to vote at your polling location. That's going to be precinct based. You could also find your polling location on that my.arizona.vote. You could contact Mojave County Recorder's Office, voter registration, if you need to know your polling location as well.
Okay, very good. From what I understand, you just recently took over as Mojave County Recorder, correct?
I did, in September of 23.
Okay, how's it going this first 6 months or so?
You know, it's been really great. I had a great mentor. Christy Blair was our county recorder for 7 years.
Right.
I've worked for her for the past 5. So it's been a pretty smooth transition. The staff members are all great. Everyone's exceptional. Ordering, being sure we have enough ballots for early voting, and the envelope order has so far been probably the most frightening part. But we'll be successful, and we'll have plenty.
How closely do you work alongside Alan Tempert?
You know, we only share middle wall between our offices, so we work very close together.
No kidding.
We do.
Yeah, Alan is a great person to learn from, I would think.
He is. He has a lot of experience. Of course, there's a little bit of differences because of Arizona law of what the recorder is responsible for, but essentially everything we do ends up in Alan's office for those ballots to be tabulated. We have a great working relationship, and he's a strong group of 3 people over there, while voter registration is also a strong group of 5.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and take a short break. We'll come back and recap what we talked about with Mojave County Recorder Lydia Durst. Lydia, can you hold on while we take a short break?
Of course.
All right, thank you. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Again, we have representatives from the Arizona Food Bank Network on at the bottom of the hour. It's a recorded interview, so you can't call in, but we pretty much covered everything under the sun, literally, that there is to cover for the Arizona Food Bank Network. All right, I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue in a moment on a Friday. All right, welcome back to Speak Out, where we're talking with Mojave County Recorder Lydia Durst by phone. And Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Patio Paradise. By Just Meats, all the cuts, all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. Also, by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. 1 year older than the London Bridge. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And by our newest sponsor, Blonzi's Steakhouse. 4501 London Bridge Road in Desert Hills, where steaks are just the beginning. They also feature the Prius and all veggie sandwich. And if you missed any part of this interview or this hour, go to KNTRTalk.com. You can catch both shows in the archives, both Speak Out and Speak Out 2.0. And that's at KNTRTalk.com. And again, on the phone, we have Mojave County Recorder Lydia Durst. And I wanted to recap the dates and times. Now, Tuesday is the deadline to register. Wednesday is the first day of early voting. And then let's get into, after that, there's some important dates as well, Lydia.
Yes. So Wednesday is early voting begins. Your ballot will be mailed, and early in-person opens at 10 a.m. at our local Mojave County libraries in Bullhead, Havasu, and Kingman. Early voting is open 10 to 4 until March 15th is the last day of early in-person voting, and then Election Day is going to be March 19th.
Okay. Now, there's people, what if people can't, you know, it's a last-minute thing, or I know you get ballots as well at your office. Is that correct?
We do. We have a drop box inside near 700 West Beale Street. Inside by the security desk, so you can drop off your ballot Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Okay, perfect. And then where do people go if they're not Democrat or Republican and they want to vote in this election, the presidential preference election in March? Where do they go to change their party affiliation? They better do it fast.
Yeah, they better do it fast, because the last day to do that is on February 20th, and that could be Service Arizona, through the Motor Vehicle Division, or the Mojave County Voter Registration Division at 700 West Beale Street. We also have satellite offices in Lake Havasu and Bullhead. They could go in, complete a voter registration form, and we'll get that in our office mail.
Well, the really good part about that is they don't have to worry about President's Day if they do everything online, right?
That's correct.
You could do it tonight. You could do it in the middle of the night. You could do it on Sunday night. You could do it whenever you want. Just say, you know what? I'm going to change my party just so I can vote in this election. Do you know who the candidates are on both ballots, the Democrat ballot and the Republican ballot?
I do. I don't have the list in front of me, but okay. I believe there are 9 Republicans and 7 Democrats on each.
Whoa, 9 Republicans. Wow. That's like the original field.
Yes. So the original field is still on the Mojave County ballots, because no one has officially withdrawn before the printing date of those ballots. If anyone officially withdraws with the Secretary of State's office, then they will be posted on our website of who has withdrawn, and no votes will be casted for them,
right,
and inside the early voting and polling locations as well.
Now, it's important to note, too, are the results of this election binding, or is it something that has to be decided at the convention as far as delegates go?
Yes, so this is a preference election. You vote for the president you hope to see on the general election in November, mm-hmm. but it is still going to go to
the convention.
The convention.
Yeah, it'll go to a floor vote and all that, and then that's where they decide who the nominee is, yeah.
The final decision, yes.
Finally, this is a little off the beaten path, but are you running for re-election? I know it's not part of this election, but are you going to run to retain this seat?
I am. I pulled my paperwork in March of 2023, and I am geared in the right direction to be on the primary ballot for July 30th.
Okay. I hope that was okay to ask. I just wanted to make sure that you had pulled your paperwork and all that, so.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Lydia Durst, thanks for joining me today on Speak Out, and hope to get you back in the studio the next time you're on, and we can talk about your office and working alongside the Mojave County Elections Office with Alan Tempert and everything that goes on, the machinations. I love that word. It's like machine, the machinations of your office and the Elections Department and everything else that the Recorder's Office does. I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Paul. This is a great opportunity.
All right. You're welcome. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks, Lydia.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Again, that's Mojave County Recorder Lydia Durst. And we're going to go to our next interview in a moment. And by the way, Russ Mascari, no stranger to Lake Havasu City, is on the recorded interview with Wendy De La Pena and Isabel Hoggett. And we're going to be talking with them. They're representatives from the Arizona Food Bank Network who were in town recently. And we'll come back after a short break. I'll let you know who the other sponsors are for this show. And then we'll go into that interview with the Arizona Food Bank Network. Don't forget, we have Lake Havasu Regional Orchestra tickets available. I'm going to give those away in the last break of the show. I'll give you up to four if you want to go to that performance on Sunday, February 25th. Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. Stay with us. Welcome back to Speak Out, and again, we're going to a recorded interview with Russ Mascari, who brought in the Arizona Food Bank Network. But first, I want to tell you, Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu Style Dining, and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere, a fantastic view of the London Bridge. Head on over to The Chair. Also, Springberg Wealth Management by Mojave Community College, Sun Power by Esme Electric, samsguns.com, and by Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all natural dog and cat food. And don't forget, it's buy local or it's buy local. And I'm going to cue that interview up here real quick and remind everybody, again, we're going to a recorded interview, so do not call in. It's with Russ Mascari and representatives from the Arizona Food Bank Network. So here is that recorded interview. So we have three people in the studio. Russ Mascari, past Commandant, Marine Corps League Detachment 757. Also have two representatives from the Arizona Food Bank Network. Isabel Hoggett, she is the Community Programs Manager, and Wendy De La Pena, she is the Communications and Outreach Manager. Welcome everybody to Speak Out.
Hi, thank you, Paul. Hello.
On this special segment on a Friday. And we're talking about the Arizona Food Bank Network. And tell us about your organization, ladies. What does it represent for food banks around the state?
Yeah, of course. Well, I can start with a brief explanation of what the Arizona Food Bank Network is. We are a nonprofit that has a membership of five food banks, four of which are large regional warehouses, who provide food to individuals directly and also to nearly 1,000 partners throughout all 15 counties of Arizona.
Okay, and so what does that mean as far as, is that an umbrella then for food banks around the state?
Yeah, I would say that we all work together using the food banks to reach our goal of freeing no more hunger in Arizona. So, yeah, we coordinate together with all the food banks. It's an umbrella.
That's a pretty lofty goal, no more hunger in Arizona.
I know. We're trying to work ourselves out of a job.
Yeah, that's right.
Bring this up just a little bit for me, if you will. And, let's talk about that. Are you successful right now in your mission of eliminating hunger in Arizona? What tools do you need to do that?
Well, I think the issue of food insecurity is very complex, and it really differs from person to person. I mean, right now, we can say, you know, food banks in Arizona currently are serving around 550,000, sorry, that is a huge number.
550,000 Arizonans?
Individuals a month. That went up from 450,000 from before the pandemic. Food banks are still seeing an increase of people coming in every day, every month.
How long have you been in this part of the nonprofit, this industry for nonprofits?
Well, I have been in the nonprofit world for, gosh, I want to say about 7 years
seven?
Or so.
Okay,
yeah,
that's respectable.
You know,
yeah.
Food banks about, you know, I've been with the Food Bank Network here about 4 years. So, yeah, it's been long enough.
And where are you based out of right now?
Right now we're in Phoenix, Arizona.
You're based out of Phoenix, okay.
We have a Rio Rico operation is our food rescue operation down in Rio Rico, but mainly we work out of our corporate office in Phoenix. But between the two teams, it's Phoenix and Rio Rico. Mm-hmm.
From what you ladies hear on the ground, are we at all-time highs right now when it comes to demand for food and food bank services?
I think it's safe to say that it is. Like I said, during the pandemic, obviously we were seeing a lot of people going to the food banks in the news. You know, everybody knew that that was a very high demand time. However, during that time, we did also have a lot of pandemic programs. So government programs, a lot of support there. So after the pandemic, a lot of those programs went away. So then we are still having that same demand without those supports in place. So now a lot of that demand is placed on the food banks themselves, which they're doing a phenomenal job meeting the day-to-day demand. But a lot of the work that the Arizona Food Bank Network does,
right,
is in supporting those food banks so that they can meet that demand, but also how do we get ahead of it, right? What are some of those things that we can do, like advocacy, outreach, you know, some of what we're doing here today, to, again, get ahead and try and prevent a large portion of those people from needing a food bank in the first place.
Russ, I need to bring you into the conversation. How did you connect with these two ladies? How did you connect with this organization, the Arizona Food Bank Network?
Well, we've talked about Be Connected in the past, Paul, quite a bit.
Absolutely.
And Be Connected, one of their social determinants of health is food and food insecurity. And so that's how I got connected. I was brought into it by Joyce Spink, who works at corporate level of Be Connected. And Tristan, Isabel's predecessor, was running a group called the Veterans Anti-Hunger Task Force, and that's how I got connected with the group. And so in some of our discussion Zoom meetings, one of the topics that came up was availability and delivery. And, you know, we have that network of 22 detachments around the state of Arizona.
I see.
And I'm going to go after our board of directors to get behind this program from the standpoint of letting getting this information to our membership, so anybody who needs delivery because they don't have transportation, their car doesn't work, they don't have a car, nobody's getting to them with food, and they can't, you know, that food insecurity issue, they can't deal with it. So maybe we can help them with deliveries throughout the state of Arizona. We're working with St. Mary's, who is one of their distributors.
Their major distributor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so St. Mary's is working on getting a board approval for us to go ahead and go forward with this. Coincidentally, had a meeting earlier this week, the Hospice of Havasu Resource Group, mm-hmm, Exchange, and sitting there with almost next to me was a young lady by the name of Cass Moreno, who is working with the Arizona, with the St. Mary's Food Bank in this area. And she gave me information. It's called azfoodhelp.org, azfoodhelp.org. And that is a website. If you go into it, search for Mojave County and the city or by zip code, it'll immediately pull up the food banks in your area. And then go and apply to them to see if they have food available and if you're qualified. And so my job is, I want to serve as a conduit to help get the message out locally, primarily through this kind of a media, through the newspaper, through social media, Facebook, websites, etc. And so that's what we have a population in Mojave County of about 25,000 veterans. If half of them are married, that's 37,000. If half of them have one child, it's nearly 50,000 people in Mojave County alone. And there's got to be a reasonable number of them who are looking for food.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cities of Mojave County and Sierra Vista very closely rival each other in numbers, by the way, ladies. I don't know if you know that, but I need to correct Russ for a second. He said the corporate level, and in the nonprofit world, we call that the executive team level, basically, right? that's where I roll anyway. He talked about St. Mary's Food Bank, and from a news perspective, I know them as a very large organization, but you're an umbrella over them as well. Is that correct?
Well, we work hand in hand. We are the coalition of food banks, so it's all of the major food banks. St. Mary's, the way we work with them is by supporting them, by providing transportation with food, whether, again, that is providing some of our rescued produce down in Rio Rico or coordinating other types of loads of food. That's the way that we kind of work with them or for them and support them. So, yeah, they do, like I said, a phenomenal job of supporting people with immediate needs, with immediate food. And I did want to share a statistic here that I was provided about Mojave County. I have it right here, one second, but it says here, in Mojave County, more than 13% of residents are food insecure. And even worse, 1 in 5 kids are hungry, too. Yeah. Like you mentioned, it could be the veterans themselves, if they're married, and also if they have kids or grandkids. 13%.
Yeah. You want to put that in perspective number-wise? If there's 200,000 people that live in Mojave County, that's 26,000.
Yeah.
That's 26,000 people who are food insecure. Yeah. So now what about Havasu? Where do you go from here? Once you're in Havasu, who do you connect? Do you connect with Havasu Community Food, Havasu Community Health Foundation, and who else? What network agencies are you involved with here?
We are involved in the sense that the way we support the food banks, they also support their agency partners, meaning their food pantries or other organizations that are in direct service to those clients. I'm gonna plug in our website here as well, but
yes,
I know
absolutely.
You already gave some resources with Be Connected, which is amazing. Our website, azfoodbanks.org, if people can go on there, if they're needing food, they can enter their zip code, and it will actually give them the closest pantries to them, whether they need a food box or if they need hot food at the moment, if they don't have a way to cook that food. But they will find anywhere from food boxes to, again, hot food and sometimes even other items if they're in need of those items. Again, the website is azfoodbanks.org.
Right.
Isabel,
I want to bring you more into the conversation because you're the community programs manager. And Wendy had talked about rescuing produce. And that's got to be a really time-sensitive operation. Do you have people on the ground that constantly go to Rio Rico, as she said, and rescue produce? And what kind of produce are we talking about?
I think it ranges. Wendy knows a little bit more about the program than I do as I'm new to the team.
Okay.
But that operation there is bringing in 50 million pounds a year.
Yeah, it's
food
actually
banks around Arizona.
Distributing. That was last year.
You have teams on standby then for when it's time to get that produce? And how do you do it without actually, do you pay the farmers or how does this work?
I call it a little orchestra because the team down there is amazing at what they do, and you could hear it in my voice. But I'm very passionate about what they do. It's amazing to see. But yeah, there's a team of how many is it in total?
It's been 20? Growing.
It keeps growing. So I don't have the exact number of the amount of, because we actually just added also a team of people that are actually taking in that donated produce. Taking out the items that are salvageable,
sure,
and they're going to make it in time to where they need to go, and then they repack it with the diverse amount of things in that box. So, for example, the team down there is on standby, and they say, well, we have a donor here that is going to be throwing away a huge load of tomatoes. Well, out of those tomatoes, they're going to make it into the warehouse, and the team is going to go box by box and say, well, you know, and they rate it. They have, like, this rating system of, like, this is, and again, I don't know exactly.
They're rating the produce.
Yeah,
I get it.
Exactly. They rate the produce, and they say, well, these guys are not going to make it. They're okay now, but they're not going to make it. These guys are in that prime, you know, condition, so let's prepack these with onions and other veggies, and maybe throw in some fruits in there as well. And so this team, we call them our repack team. They're, again, amazing at what they do. They take all these different things of one type of produce, repack it, and then they push it out to whether it's our member food banks or other food banks outside of Arizona. So we meet the need here in Arizona. And then the X's will go to states. I mean, I like to say New York because I feel like that's the farthest one that I remember that it's gone to.
No kidding.
It goes, New Mexico. I know Nevada. I think California as well.
See, I'm thinking Phoenix to Flagstaff.
Right.
You know, but there's still a big sense of urgency. You're talking about food that's spoiled.
Yeah.
You know, the talk about food banks in the past was dry goods. You know, bring your canned goods, bring your box goods.
Peanut butter,
pasta.
Well, yeah.
Right. Chicken noodle soup, whatever. But now you're talking about food. You're talking about dairy, and you know, which includes eggs and milk. And then you're talking about produce too, correct? Mm-hmm. What about dairy? Because that's a real timeline there. Your teams must have a real sense of urgency.
Yeah, we do. And actually, some of those goods come in not through our rescue program. The majority of the rescue, from what I understand, is produce. But we do have another program called Friends of the Farm, which was piloted, I believe, during 2020. Mm. Gosh, that year was a blur. But, yeah, 2020. That was supported by then-Governor Ducey. That's a program that was piloted that year. It's still going on right now. It's still being supported. That program actually is basically that's where we get our dairy. That's where we get eggs and other types of animal products that make it into the food bank boxes. But, yeah, that program, like I said, supports farmers, local farmers. And in turn, we call it our farm-to-food bank program because it goes from the farmer directly
to... Farm-to-food is a big thing right now. Yeah.
So it's supporting the local food system. It's supporting our food banks and, in turn, obviously, our clients in need.
So that said, food banks around the state now, are more and more of them having refrigerators and freezers and that sort of thing to house the food? Because it didn't used to be that way.
Right, yeah, I mean, a lot of, and I'm going to talk about another area, right, of
I know
of
you
Ethiopia.
Probably didn't think it would go this
We're
way.
We're dipping into all the buckets today, but yeah,
that's where I go.
That was another initiative, too, that we had for a long while is, which we typically didn't before the pandemic. We were not a granting organization, but a lot of money came through the government or through other people that wanted to make a difference, so we had a good amount of money to grant a lot of these food banks, a lot of these food pantries, a lot of these organizations that now had things like dairy coming in, things like eggs, produce that would go, you know, could go bad. So now we were granting them, you know, money to purchase refrigerators, vans, you know, that had the capacity to transport, you know, food in coolers and freezers and things like that. And not only in the metro area, but also in rural communities. So that was huge. I mean, the ability to transport food that was frozen that could make it in time to a lot of harder reach places was phenomenal. Yeah.
Right. And, I've talked to the people at the Havasu Community Health Foundation Food Bank. In fact, they're on every 2 months now on a certain day. And there's a whole process of, it's not just who's in the office and people come in and they fill out a little bit of paperwork, you know, earnings wise and income and that sort of thing. But then there's a whole team of people outside standing in the 110 degree temperatures directing the cars because it's all pickup by vehicle now.
Yep.
Or walk through. But, I wanted to ask you, and I've had this conversation with food bank people before. Cash versus food donations. What's better? So many people say, I've had executives tell me cash goes farther. We have more buying power than the consumer. But food donations are important too. What's your, both of your take on it?
I think in whatever way that people are able to help is the best way. Obviously, like you mentioned, cash goes really far because we're able to buy things in bulk. And food banks are also able to buy things in bulk. But I like to say in whatever way that you can help is the best way. If your way is monetary, beautiful. If your way is by giving your time, amazing, because right now we're seeing also that volunteer numbers have gone down. A lot of those people that were giving their time that were retired or kind of looking into doing other things or simply just not coming in.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know that I have
because
an answer for that.
The need is there, right?
The need is absolutely there, yeah. I mean, we're always putting out, you know, messages of come volunteer at the food banks, you know, sign up with them or with any pantry that's close to you, go support. But I think it's just the culture, maybe, as we're kind of, you know, our older adult population is, again, either just phasing out of that season of life and they're like, you know what, I'm going to go focus on my family now. Or
right.
So we're really trying to spread the word with, you know, our younger generations and foster that sense of volunteering and giving back. But again, our numbers at the moment are low. And we, again, if you can help by volunteering at a food bank, that is also amazing.
Yeah, not everyone can do DoorDash either, right? Just when they want a meal right away, you
yeah.
have to realize that there's people out there with food insecurities.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the cost of living isn't getting any cheaper for anybody.
It certainly isn't, yeah.
Right. Is that need, what about Phoenix itself? Do you see... I mean, I know the homeless population there is very impacted, you know, by the economy and that sort of thing. And the real estate market's really hit the homeless population really hard. Is that one of your main populations that use the food bank as the homeless population? Or are we talking about families as well?
Well, I can't speak specifically to our homeless population. There's other organization, amazing organizations that focus solely on homeless populations.
Yes.
But it's very diverse, the people that come into a food bank. And even,
yeah.
I'll go back to the pandemic, and even right now, there's people that are going to the food bank now that had never gone to a food bank before. I think a lot of people think, well, it's people that you see over and over again. But actually, there's a lot of people that are going in that have never gone to a food bank. So, yeah.
Russ, you wanted to add something?
Yeah.
I want to go back to this distribution, local distribution.
We have about 2, maybe 3 minutes.
Well, it'll take less than that. azfoodhelp.org. If you search that and then you look at Mojave County or Lake Havasu or any other location, I did that last night and I printed out a sheet of food partners, they're called, that St. Mary's Food Bank provides this list, and it's not just their food banks. It's anybody who is in the food bank industry in the food bank and nonprofit business. Catholic Charities, Bullhead City, Kingman, Bullhead City, Topak, Golden Valley, Lake Havasu, Chloride.
Topak actually has a really large pantry.
Dolan Springs, Meadview, White Hills, Yucca. That's the printout of the addresses and phone numbers of those food banks that came up. Simple search, azfoodhelp.org.
That's just in our listening area, ladies.
Yeah.
All of those organizations are just in our listening area.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you wanted to add while I have you here?
No, I mean, likewise, just sharing the website, azfoodbanks.org, if you want to find the closest food pantry near you with your zip code. Anything else?
Yeah, just if you're passionate about veteran food insecurity, too, we have a task force, and we're always working on projects to just help the rural veteran population, so you're welcome to join us on that as well.
That's wonderful.
I should mention, Isabel took over that task force from Tristan.
Yes.
She is now navigating that project.
Yep.
Are you a veteran?
No, I'm not.
You're not a veteran?
No.
Wendy? No? So we have one veteran in the room. Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
As I always say to us. And the websites are really easy because it's AZ Food, and one is help, and one is banks. So azfoodhelp.org or azfoodbanks.org. Super simple, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
I want to thank you both for being on.
Thank you so much.
Isabel Hoggett and Wendy De La Pena, and of course, Russ Mascari.
Thank you very much, Paul.
All right,
thank you, Paul.
And we'll be back with more on Speak Out in just a moment. Thanks, ladies.
And I'm proud to be an American.
You know, there's just certain songs you can't cut off in the middle of a vocal. And I think that's one of them. God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood, of course. And, yeah, I'm just kind of in a patriotic mood today with everything going on. So, anyway, I want to talk about the 21st annual Bluegrass on the Beach. Starts March 1st, runs through the 2nd and the 3rd at Lake Havasu State Park, Windsor 4. There's advanced tickets on sale. Go to bluegrassonthebeach.com, and we'll have an interview with Danny Stewart from Danny Stewart Productions, and that'll be on the 26th. We'll play that recorded interview back on with Danny Stewart. And you know what? I guess it's because Monday's President's Day. That's kind of why I'm in the patriotic spirit here. We will not be on the air, by the way, on Monday. Neither will Speak Out 2.0. Both programs will yield to the Dennis Prager Show and the last hour, or the first hour or the last hour? Last hour of the Dana Show will be on in place of Speak Out. And speaking of Speak Out 2.0, which is coming up next after news and a short break, save this number, 234-343-1065, 234-343-1065. Today's guest, Becky Fossen, the president of the Kingman Chamber of Commerce, Kingman Area Chamber of Commerce, and then Gary and Nikki from the Rotary Golf Tournament. All right, that does it for me, Paul Lavoie. Have a safe weekend. And we'll see you on Tuesday right here from Lake Havasu City on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.